Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Josh Morgerman craves being in the eye of the storm. This isn't figurative. He likes to be in the eye of the storm.
Backside of the eye wall, it seems just as strong as the front. There's just debris flying. This place is getting torn up. It's going to look ugly when we come out later.
It's going to look ugly. That's Josh in the middle of Hurricane Michael. He's known as the Hurricane Man. We and thousands of others followed him on Twitter at iCyclone during Dorian. He was right on Abaco Island tweeting out about wrapping children in blankets for safety. Then we heard nothing. Well, at some point, you'll be able to see what happened on his Science Channel show, Hurricane Man. Josh has long been scientifically gauging where the eye of a storm will be and then heading there. Now he takes a film crew. His new season features every large hurricane of 2018, beginning Sunday with Michael in Panama City, Florida. Here's Josh's cameraman worrying about a couple at their livelihood, a fishing boat.
I just hope staying to look after this boat. Not a huge, huge mistake.
Whoa! Oh my God! Man,
you need to get off the boat!
I'm trying!
Well, now Josh Morgerman is back from the Bahamas and Dorian. Josh, you're back, but are you over Dorian?
Actually, no. This is one of the most epic hurricanes I've witnessed in my almost 30 years of chasing, and this thing's going to stick with me for a while.
Well, I just have to ask, what happened to the children?
Children were okay. No one died or was seriously injured in the building where we rode out the hurricane, which is miraculous because we were in a concrete school, which was a designated shelter, and it would probably withstand most hurricanes, but this thing was sustained winds of 185 miles an hour, gusts well over 200. By the time we got to the calm eye of the storm, which is the exact center where you get a little break, we knew we couldn't ride out the rest of the storm there. We had to relocate or we were going to die.
Okay. Right away, let's get to what people might be asking. Why are you going?
Well, it's a good question. And guys like me, you know, storm chasers, I really believe it's almost like a quirk that you're just born with. I grew up on Long Island, and I remember just even as a toddler, I just get so excited. You know, my parents even noticed it. My whole life has been kind of just hunting down that feeling again and again, although the motivation has changed over time. So in my younger years, you know, when I was first chasing, I was just an adrenaline junkie and it was all about that. Now it's about data collection. And my biggest thrill now is hunting down these hurricanes coming ashore, oftentimes in remote regions, and getting into that hard to reach center, which is surrounded by the most violent winds, to collect rare data that otherwise wouldn't exist. And Hurricane Michael, which the show starts with, and Hurricane Dorian, which happened last week, are two examples of some of my best work in terms of collecting data.
To what end?
So the National Hurricane Center, after any event, they do a post-analysis. It's almost like a meteorological forensic files. They try to piece together what happened exactly. And oftentimes in the post-mortem, they'll come to a different conclusion about the storm than what they thought in real time. And a good example is Hurricane Michael. So when Michael smashed the Florida Panhandle, at the time it hit, we thought it was a Category 4. About 6 months later, the National Hurricane Center, after a very deep analysis, they decided, you know what? It was actually Category 5. And my data in many instances have helped them or other scientists do that more detailed post-analysis. And in some cases, especially when hurricanes are hitting areas in the developing world that might not have weather stations where the hurricanes come ashore, my data might be the only data.
Okay, a couple things. First of all, you said you're from Long Island. I'm from Long Island. And I told you I remembered a hurricane and you went, boom, you knew the year, you knew the name. You know your stuff. This is your passion. Having watched and having followed you, you are very, very careful. And you also help the people that happen to be around you when you end up in a hurricane. Here you are in a scene during Hurricane Michael. You've just explained that on the rear side of the eye wall of the storm, the wind blows in the opposite direction and can be lethal, can take down cement buildings like the one you're in. And then you stand near buckling walls watching that happen.
This hurricane has a bass sound. You can feel your earth popping. That means get away from the windows.
If you hear your ears popping, that means get away from the windows. But do you ever worry that people will think they are going to be safe because they're with you? Because as we see, they're often not.
Yeah, well, you know, when I chase, I keep a low profile. It just so often happens, though, that I end up being in a situation with a bunch of strangers, you know, telling them what to do to get through it.
And they're looking up like, who's this guy? This crazy guy. But you know where the winds are going. You know what to tell them.
Exactly. You know, the thing is, I've survived a lot of really, really, really bad hurricanes. I mean, I've been in collapsing buildings a few times. You know, I've been in another building that where the water came up and the people on the first floor almost drowned. So I've survived so many times, you know, and I know what to do. Like, for example, you know, when the windows blow in and the building starts to, you know, come apart, get in the bathroom, get in the tub, get under a mattress.
Well, part of your crew was embedded with firefighters and EMS workers in Panama City before their building pretty much collapses around them, and they climb in the fire trucks to protect themselves. They field calls from people who are desperate. One, a single mom whose house has collapsed. She's shielding her three children. And here's dispatcher Dawn Kirkland, who's trying to reassure her.
As soon as we can get somebody out to me, we will. I promise, okay? I promise. We will, somebody will come and assist you, I promise. Okay? So just hold on to the babies a little bit longer, okay?
And basically, Dawn just breaks down and cries. You have your data to collect, but what happens when you see that emotion and that fear?
Oh, you know, of course it affects me. Like I said, I'm there to document the events, but more than a few times, the danger of the event just kind of overcame me. And I've rescued people or I've pulled people to safety and everything else. I mean, there's a certain point where you just have to throw the camera down or forget about the meteorological data and just, you know, do what you have to do as a human being, you know. And it's hard for those emergency responders, you know. In storms of that strength, vehicles are thrown and flipped and the flying debris is lethal. You just have to wait it out.
You see that. And you follow one of the fire chiefs who finally says, I've got to go see if my wife lived. And he has to hack his way through trees and everything to finally find her. You know, really, this is just really emotional stuff. You also tell a story. You talked about growing up on Long Island and being obsessed, you know, the adrenaline rush. But there was a moment when I think your father brought home to you that there's more going on here.
Yeah. It's a moment that has haunted me. This was like 35 years ago. A hurricane came up the coast. I was all excited. It was Hurricane Gloria in 1985. This hurricane crossed the Atlantic and it's shooting up the coast to Long Island. And I'm just like, oh my God, this is so amazing, so amazing. And the center passed right over my town. And at the height of the storm, the biggest tree in our property and the biggest tree in the entire neighborhood, a giant old willow, just went crashing down. And it was the most incredible thing I ever saw. And then my mother started to cry. And my father looked at me and he's like, this is what you wanted? And that moment has replayed again and again for me. Just that conflict of being so excited by these awesome meteorological specimens, these majestic creations of the earth, and then just the horror at the kind of human suffering, almost like a microcosm of what I would experience again and again on a much bigger scale.
Yeah. The aftermath. We see people searching with dogs to find bodies, and your crew finally gets to Mexico Beach. We all know how that was just wiped out. And there's an 81-year-old surveying the ruins of his home. Let's listen.
Robert Hudson's home is in the canal. Jackie's house is gone. Dear friends of mine.
Where were you during the hurricane?
At 81 years of age, I was in the eye yesterday, and we were not prepared for it.
Yeah.
First of all, we didn't think we had to be prepared, because we thought, it ain't gonna be able to be much. This is an awakening. What went on out there? The planet's changing right in front of our eyes.
Boy, Josh Morgerman, it's like Moses suddenly rose up. I mean,
yeah, that's a good way of describing him. You know, we got there and it was eerie and deserted. And there was this one, you know, guy, and he did almost have this prophetic quality. And it was just his take on things was just, you know, it was hypnotic.
But he also says something that's true. We know that the effects of climate change or warming seas, maybe not more hurricanes, but more violent hurricanes. Is there a point where you might say, you know what, maybe I don't go?
No. Hardcore chaser dudes like me, this is in your blood. You're born to do this, and I'm always going to do it. That's not to say that I don't have periods where I have to step back. You know, after Super Typhoon Haiyan in the Philippines in 2013, which killed 6,000 to 10,000 people, and, for example, Hurricane Dorian, these are epic storms where I step back from them just emotionally and physically exhausted. Like, I'm not in a hurry to chase, you know, next week, but the urge always comes back. It's just how I'm wired.
And just real quick, what would you say to other people who might say, well, you put first responders, you know, in danger because they might have to rescue you, or people might think he can do it, I can do it?
Well, I wrestle with this a lot in terms of the example I set. I have a lot of fans who are 15 to 20 years old. They're basically exactly, you know, what I was at that age, just these like hardcore weather nerds. And they see me doing this and they find it very inspiring and they want to do it, too. And I always feel like I'm setting a really bad example. But on the other hand, you know, it's very conflicting because I'm excited that I'm inspiring young people to take an interest in science. You know, it's not all like mathematical equations. It's just witnessing like the power of this planet. So I have very mixed feelings. My net impact in storms has been positive. I've rescued people and more than I've sought help.
That's Josh Morgeman. This season of his Science Channel documentary series, Hurricane Man, debuts this Sunday with Hurricane Michael. So devastating in Florida in 2018. Josh, thank you so much for speaking with us and for being, for many people, the eyes and ears of a hurricane.
My pleasure. Thank you.